Good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Linguistica this Tuesday. We have the pleasure of having with us Mr. Rodolfo Macias, who is the head of the unit in charge of terminology coordination at the European Parliament in the Directorate General for Translation. Good afternoon, Mr. Macias.
Good afternoon. Hello. Thank you for this honor and the possibility to communicate with your auditors about our work in the Parliament.
Wow, more to say. Now, you have come to talk to us about IATE, IATE, an asset for the EU's multilingual terminology. We recently had an interview with terminologists from three EU institutions, all working on the vocabulary of the COVID emergency in early 2020. Today, you will talk to us about this multilingual asset. Could you tell us what your work is in the European Parliament, please?
Yes, of course. So our work consists mainly in the coordination of the terminology for the translators in the European Parliament. We are a small horizontal unit with 10 members of permanent staff, assisted by a team of trainees, coordinating the work on terminology done by the translation units and providing to them the necessary resources, ensuring consistency and quality of the translation into the 24 languages. So this is our main task. The work in each language is, of course, done by translators appointed by their heads of units as terminologists in their translation units. Since, of course, we don't cover all languages, so they do the terminology work in their languages. And in order to ensure this input and output, we have created and managed a series of tools and permanent online communication platforms. So our main task is to coordinate the work of some 110 terminologists in the European Parliament in all languages. All this work is done, of course, for and via our main tool, which is the Interinstitutional Terminology Database, IATE, you mentioned before.
A question. Could you give us the definition? This is not a trap, huh? Of IATE, or it's the interinstitutional, and then
it means interactive terminology for Europe.
Thank you. I know it has been changes.
Yeah, it is because interactive because the translators can enter themselves the terminology in the database.
Indeed. Now, could you briefly, for our audience, some of them will know, of course, but some will not. Could you tell us when IATE was created and how it was created?
So it was first created in 2002 and first by merging digital databases that already existed on that time, like Eurodicotom from the Commission, that was widely known, and also UTERP from the European Parliament, which means European Terminology Parlement Européen. They were always looking for ancient Greek news names, so UTERP. And so they merged all the terminology of these digital databases and created IATE. And this is why also we have a lot of legacy terminology, and we had a lot of duplicates because a lot of terms existed in the old databases. So it took us some time to make IATE really useful for the translators, cleaning all this terminology. But 1 year ago, we launched the new version of IATE that offers a lot of possibilities to respond to the needs of our times. Like interconnectivity, it has, for those who know, APIs that can connect it with any software, and responsiveness. So it means we don't need an application, because on any device it adapts to the screen. And also it gives the possibility to download term bases, which we can, and any translator, any external user can enter this term basis in the CAT tool they are using. So it's very useful to know that a database that contains 8 million terms in 24 languages, it is the biggest in the world, so multilingual database, and it covers more than 100 fields of legislation of the European Union, that external translators can download its content in different formats. As from September, it will be also possible to do it in a simple Excel. So you put your keyword, the domain you are interested in, you download the term base, it makes an automatic term extraction, and this term base, this small glossary related to your text, you add it to the CAT tool and you have it for your translation.
Okay, that's all about the work of the translator, and I'm impressed, because for the neophyte or the non-translator, this sounds extremely technical, and certainly requires a lot of you have to be agile and expert in something. Now, so Yatir is mainly for translators, obviously in the institutions, but are there secondary targets and are there secondary contributors?
Yes, of course, the terminology coordination of the European Parliament has been the youngest similar service, created only in 2008, and thus our unit could adopt from the beginning a more open approach, and to achieve this is networking with the international academic world of terminology. We created and run since 2011 a public website, which is the address is easy, it's termcord.eu, and which is now an official website of the European Parliament. Our website is providing a lot of resources to the wider public and promotes the huge translation work done in all European institutions. And we are very glad that our new record in April was more than 70,000 visitors in 1 month. So we have an important networking with the terminology world, and it is the unique public website on the terminology done in the European institutions.
Now, who do you have an idea of the profile of these users? I understand they can consult, possibly contribute, but that's a question. And who are they? Do you have an idea?
Yes, of course, we monitor with different statistics all the visitors, the age, the professional skills. So they are from all countries. We have, for example, Canada and America are two countries from where we have a lot of users, and they and all ages, but mainly from the biggest group is between 35 and 55. They are mostly professionals, translators, interpreters, linguists, writers, journalists. And since we have a lot of projects that are focused on specific domains like medicine or women rights, so we have also specialists in these fields like organizations, or there is for medicine, medical terminology, there is an organization that regroups people who have both the medical diploma and they are also translators of medical texts. So we have specialists and linguists as our main visitors.
Okay, which means, yeah, it's very cross-cutting. And they are visitors or are they contributors? I mean, what kind of access?
Yes, they have, they can participate in terminology projects. For example, this terminology without borders that we are seeing now on screen. It is a new project that we created because one of the new challenges set by the Directorate General of Translation of the European Parliament is to communicate with the citizens in clear language. And therefore, we started to add our articles of IATE term of the week to add short audio clips in different languages, explaining complicated terms in plain terminology. So this we created also these projects on culture, education, women rights, fisheries and medicine, in which participate universities, and the terminology created by them are revised by experts of international organization for each domain, and also of the European agencies that we have, more than 60 European agencies. I think they all depend from the Commission, so you know them better than we. And we collaborate, for example, for fisheries with EMSA and EFCA, the two respective agencies, and the EMO, the agencies of the United Nations. So our partners, our network, can contribute in working on terminology. We have also a series of interviews that are prepared by our trainees. We have by now more than 100 interviews, and every year we publish an ebook that is also accessible through the open EU open data portal. With 20 interviews on terminology, translation, and interpretation. So this is also another way to contribute to our website. We also invite everybody with whom we do a cooperation to write an article on this cooperation, which we publish on the website. We have a lot of external contributors on our website.
Okay, so that's the website, and it's in a way it's the public IATE. It's,
yes,
it's the visible face. You mentioned briefly the fact that you published IATE Term of the Week, and I understand this is every Friday. This has to do with European current affairs, and it is in line with the agenda of the European Parliament. Could you give us some examples and more details on this publication, this special publication, please?
Yes, indeed, this is one of the most visited posts. We have hundreds of IATE term of the weeks meanwhile. And the way it is done is that our trainees or colleagues, we monitor the actuality and especially the topics with which our legislative institutions are dealing with. And we select an actual term, provide the IATE entry in the 24 languages, and write an article explaining the concept of this term. So some interesting examples are, for example, racial equality or carbon neutrality, recovery plan, And of course, more recently, ones connected with the pandemic, like the epidemic curve or deconfinement. So all these are terms that are in IATE. And they are in IATE because they appear in the texts we translate. So this is very useful then for the actual work also of our translators to understand the concept of each term.
And we have been talking about these things a lot recently. How do you select these terms? I mean, do you have...
Well, we follow a lot of European websites, also public ones, that comment about the policy of the European Union. And we, as you said, we check the agenda of the European Parliament. So something that will be voted in the Parliament, we take the term. We check in IATE if it is also an occasion to improve IATE. So if the entry is poor, let's say, so it has only, let's say, 5 or 10 languages, it is an occasion we create a so-called term job and we complete this entry. And we write then an article. They are, since our trainees who are very high skilled in terminology do it in an academic way, they write articles with the references and they are real linguistic essays on these concepts. And I think they have a very good quality, the IATE Terms of the Week. I really suggest to you to check this list.
I may agree, but I would rather have your opinion. Is there a need for plain language in the way we talk? I mean, is there a... do you have observations? Do you have comments from outsiders, for example? Say, yes. Well, you know...
You know, now the European Union exists for many decades. And at the beginning, the terminology work was to create terms. Everybody spoke about Euro jargon and about some terminology we were using in the text that was not so understandable by all the citizens. Meanwhile, all the administrations of the member states have worked with the European legislation. They have adapted the European language to their administrative language. And we have now, I would say, the obligation not to create prescriptive but descriptive terminology. So mainly, for example, the central bank in Frankfurt and the Court of Justice, instead of creating terms, they adopt more a practice to collect the terms used by the national banks or the national courts and to use these terms to enrich IATE and our translations. So since the terms that we put in IATE come from the legislative text that we translate, using this descriptive terminology, we use more clear terminology, plain terminology, as we say. And also the projects of which I talked before, the Terminology Without Borders project, they contain also so-called ontologies, and they contain different levels of terms according to the different audience. So medicine, for example, is a very crucial example because it's very different to use the scientific term. It's very important to use it in the legislation, which is addressed to scientists. But the organizations like Médecins du Monde, the Doctors Without Borders and so on, who are active in different countries, poor countries, and are in contact with patients who don't understand the scientific terminology. They need to use something that is understandable to explain the symptoms or the drugs that they have to give to the patients.
And does it mean that Yatea or your website, I don't know, will provide two or more alternative words, depending on the audience?
Yatea, for many terms, it has different alternative proposals. But Yatea is mainly including the terms that it is getting from the European legislation. But this is why in our projects with universities and international organizations, we can be more open and use also this terminology in the other levels. Okay. In the future, perhaps we are discussing this. You know, IATA is managed, as said in the interview some days before, by 10 institutions together. So in the IATA management group, where we are all represented, we are discussing this possibility to insert also different levels and to insert ontologies, which is the relation between the terms of the same concept.
That's a science indeed. I had a little bit of a discussion about deconfinement, which is, I believe, a European creature from a terminologist's point of view, as opposed to, well, words like lockdown, etc. So what will... Yes, and you agree. Typically, there we have a concept or word, not a concept, but a word, which has been coined by European terminologists, because, if I'm right, and I'm talking under your control, lockdown referred to something which is more like a society, whereas deconfinement or confinement was... had to do with the individual. So that's an interesting little insight into what's behind
words. You know, in such crises like we had, which are original, we had them for the first time, and I hope for the last time, there are created a lot of neologisms. And there are a lot of concepts for which you have to create terms, and they are created in an environment where it's not linguists who create the terms. This you have it also in the IT industry, for example. People, technicians, for example, have to create, to launch a term very quickly, to describe some technical proceeding, and they have no linguistic background. So they can produce a term that becomes a term because it is retweeted 10,000 times. So it becomes a term that you need to use, but sometimes it doesn't correspond to the real concept. An example is the social and the physical distancing. So we have discussed very much social distancing is wrong. And it is wrong because we can have a social contact like we have now. Our contact through the phone, through the screen, is a social contact. What we cannot do because of the pandemic is the physical contact. The distance is 2 meters from a physical presence. And so we are happy that at least the parliament has adopted this. And in the lifts, it says respect physical distance and not social distance. But this is an example to show how terminology in our daily life, in every concept we transform in words is present and is important.
And I think we appreciate that. I mean, physical, okay, and social would be a bit not very good for confidence and that sort of thing that we need in society. Now, a question is, I've had a look at the website, and I was wondering how you ensure multilingualism. I mean, you are at the center of a machine, you are a terminologist, you work in a translation service in the European institutions, and we all know that one language is opening up an entire new world. I mean, a set of people, an audience. And how do you publish all the results and the comments that you described in the official languages? And is it possible? How do you do it?
Well, in IATA, yes, you have in the 24 languages, although the source, each database has a basic source language. And for IATA, the source language is English. So the entry is created in English. So even if a so-called problem term comes from another language, we create the entry with the English equivalent, and based on this, we complete the other languages. So the website is something different. You know, there are websites where you have the flags and you can choose the language. Since the website is managed by a very small unit like we are, we wouldn't have the possibility to translate all this content in several languages. Since we are a small horizontal unit, we need the language to communicate with each other. And this is English. So also the website, the work is done in English. The publications are in English. But we encourage, for example, for the interviews that I mentioned before, we have some interviews done in Spanish or in Romanian, and then we publish them in the original language, and we provide a translation in English. In the website, especially in this category of interviews, you will find also a collaboration that we have done recently, a yearly collaboration with the University ISIT of Paris, where they have done interviews in French. Last year, 20 interviews with linguists, and this year, interviews with personalities of the European culture. And we have published an ebook in French. But we unfortunately cannot, so our resources cannot permit to have a real multilingual website, which is a very big work. We could not afford this.
Yes, I understand. Unless you have the students from the various translation universities and schools work on that, that would be perhaps a very concrete benefit also for the citizens, since Parliament is representing the citizens. But that's an idea just like that. Maybe I will switch to French. And j'aimerais parler de l'autre initiative que vous avez mentionnée, qui est Yate Goes Audio. Ce sont donc des petits enregistrements, des petits messages audio, donc dans les différentes langues, pour expliquer les termes, the term of the week. Est-ce que vous pourriez nous expliquer comment vous faites ça? Qui va lire les textes? Voilà, cette production est assez originale. Et bien entendu, elle est disponible sur le site. Comment vous organisez ça, en quelques mots?
Alors, nous avons choisi quelques termes parmi les IATA Term of the Week que nous considérons les plus compliqués, qui font partie du jargon européen et qui parfois ne sont pas compréhensibles pour les citoyens. Et nous faisons un petit nous écrivons un petit texte qui est écrit par nos traducteurs dans différentes langues. Et ce texte explique le concept dans une terminologie plus simple, plus compréhensible. C'est-à-dire le terme à utiliser dans les textes officiels et législatifs reste le terme qui est suggéré par IATE. Mais on explique, on donne aussi d'autres termes qui expliquent le même concept. Et pour ça, on enregistre des audio clips, comme on les appelle, des petits enregistrements audio, et nous les ajoutons sur le IATE Term of the Week. Et pour comme il y a quelques-uns qui sont relatifs à des termes publiés auparavant, nous avons créé une page séparée où nous avons tous ces audio clips. Et nous comptons développer cette pratique, surtout en collaboration avec une nouvelle unité qui a été créée dans notre direction générale, qui s'appelle Audio Capacity, et qui a des studios de radio. C'est vraiment très développé. Il crée des podcasts. Et là, nous avons suggéré, ça c'est déjà un exemple que nous avons créé pour montrer à cette unité comment nous comptons inclure la terminologie dans ces émissions. Et bientôt, bon, cette direction a eu son directeur très récemment, le 1er juillet, donc c'est quelque chose de bien nouveau. Merci. Et c'est de cette façon que nous comptons participer et mettre en exergue l'importance de la terminologie aussi dans cette nouvelle aventure du Parlement européen, afin de communiquer en langue compréhensible avec les citoyens.
D'accord. Bon, une initiative qui semble tout à fait appréciable, puisque souvent les citoyens s'interrogent sur la langue que nous parlons, pas seulement d'ailleurs l'Union européenne, c'est en général une interrogation, enfin une inquiétude. Les gens n'ont pas toujours le sentiment qu'on leur explique. Souvent on cite, on utilise des termes comme ça à la va-vite et on ne fait qu'à moitié comprendre. Donc ça vaut la peine pour une institution comme le Parlement. Et alors, est-ce que vous avez d'autres projets encore pour promouvoir et pour disséminer le travail terminologique de l'Union européenne?
Bon, déjà, ces collaborations avec les universités, c'est quelque chose qu'on développe continuellement. Dans nos projets Terminologie sans frontières, nous comptons ajouter aussi d'autres domaines. Nous continuons avec les interviews. C'est quelque chose que nous sommes en train de développer, comme nous avons eu par exemple les interviews sur la culture, qui font partie de notre programme Projet Culture dans Terminologie sans frontières. On compte avec des universités faire de telles collaborations aussi. Puis nous donnons des cours dans des universités, par exemple à l'Université de Luxembourg. Depuis 2013, nous avons un cours qui s'appelle Translation and Terminology, où en ce moment il y a 10 collègues du Parlement qui enseignent la terminologie, la technique de l'interprétation. C'est un master de communication, et ça c'est très intéressant parce que ça connecte la terminologie, la langue avec les outils de communication. Et aussi, moi j'enseigne à l'Université Savoie-Mont-Blanc dans un diplôme universitaire financé par le ministère du travail de France. C'est tout un diplôme avec 9 modules sur la terminologie, dont un module que moi j'enseigne est sur la terminologie européenne. Et de plus en plus dans les universités, il y a des masters sur la terminologie. Et là, nous participons aussi à plusieurs conférences. Donc, je crois que le meilleur créneau pour promouvoir la terminologie européenne et aussi pour recevoir de la terminologie, recevoir un input du monde terminologique, c'est effectivement la collaboration académique. Et donc là, nous ne mettons pas de frontières à cette collaboration.
Très bien. Donc, vous n'hésitez pas à sortir de votre bureau pour aller à la rencontre à la fois des étudiants et des experts par domaine et des universitaires. Je crois qu'on a un petit peu épuisé notre temps. Je vais vous remercier beaucoup d'avoir présenté ces travaux. Nous, on va essayer de relayer cette information à la fois en webcast et en podcast. Je vous écris et puis merci. À bientôt, j'espère. N'hésitez pas à nous tenir au courant.
Merci à vous et nous sommes à votre disposition, à la disposition de tous ceux qui nous ont écoutés, de répondre à n'importe quelle question par mail. Merci beaucoup.
Merci. Au revoir.
Voilà, madame.